Okay, everybody, good evening. If you were to give a halachic shiur on Parsha Shmos, what halacha would you pick? Avi's unmuting himself, here it comes. I know, it's bedtime in the house, I know. I know, Avi. I have a guess. Alvin, always great to see you, by the way. What? Kishuf, that's a fantastic guess. So Dr. Karp guessed Kishuf, and we obviously learn what not to do from the Egyptian sorcerers. Very nice, Adam. I like that answer. And I don't know enough about that topic. I actually was thinking about false messiahs in halacha because the Jewish people were a little skeptical. Rabbeinu, you know, and like what are actual genuine signs of Mashiach? Maybe what would you guess?
Can a woman be a mohelas?
Very good. So Tzipora certainly performs a circumcision in this week's parasha. Very good. A mohelet, and I've never heard of that one before. Okay, fascinating question. You know what? I didn't think of that, Avi, so unfortunately that was not tonight's topic. Let's begin with the Baal HaTurim in the very beginning of the Parsha. Ve'elesh Shemos B'nei Yisrael. So one of the Roshei Tevos, Ve'elesh Shemos B'nei Yisrael, Roshei Tevos, Ve'adam Asher Lomid HaSeder, Shnayim Mikra, Ve'chatargum B'kol Na'im Yashir, so those are the Elish Mos B'nai Yisrael. Here it is. Yichye Shnanim Rabos Aruchos La'olam. Wow. So people classically know that the word Shemos is an acronym for the words Shnayim Mikra Ve'echad Targum. That one should read the Psukim of the Parsha two times with a Targum. And we'll get to what that word means with some form of commentary. But the Baal HaTurim, he belts out the whole pasuk. That was a nice Baal HaTurim, right? Again, Be'elish Mos B'nei Yisrael are the Roshei Tevos of Adam Asher Lomid HaSeder Shnai Mikra Ve'echad Targum. The person who learns their weekly, you know, Parsha with the Targum. Bekol Na'im Yashir, with a pleasant voice and song. Yichye, he will live Shanim Rabot Aruchim La'olam, will have a long life. Wow, what an amazing remez of the Baal HaTurim in his commentary on the Torah in this week's Parsha. So we know there is a mitzvah every Shabbos to not only go to shul to hear leining, but also to experience the parsha at home by doing Shnai Mikra, what's colloquially referred to, you know, the Gemara calls it Shnai Mikra. And that means we have an obligation to learn the weekly parsha. We have an obligation to learn the weekly parsha. Okay, so let's learn about it because it's a crucial mitzvah. Many people are not really all that aware of this mitzvah, and it also is a little challenging. There is a certain, you know, we'll say stock that the Yetzer Hara has invested in this particular din. And before we go into the sources you have in front of you, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked about this question. Yeshiva Bachim, who prefer to learn, we'll say more, we'll say a meat and potatoes, Gemara, Rishonim, the Poskim, the Halakha. Do they still have to take a break from their regular Limud HaTorah to do Shnai Mikra? And Rav Moshe basically didn't understand the question. Like, hello, it's like Shnai Mikra, it's an obligation. You know, that is in Chelek Hei Avor HaChaim and Rav Moshe. And I also had an experience once where the great Rav Mordechai Willig, so I asked him a very technical halacha question about Shnai Mikra, like, Rebbe, should we do it this way or that way? Something like, you know, one of these technical questions about how to do Shnai Mikra. And he looked at me and he basically said, exactly, Adam predicted it. Right. As long as you do it, like, you're good. Like, don't worry too much about the details on this one. Just get the job done. Because we know that this mitzvah, for some reason, is a little bit more challenging for some than others. And it has, like, a bad reputation almost that people struggle with it. Now, ironically, I love this din. For me, I don't know, something in the way I'm created, my neshama, there's something about me and Shnai Mikra that just kind of jive. And to the degree in TABC, I actually had boys approach me this year and they asked, can we have a weekly quiz on the Shnai Mikra? And thus was born the Shnai Mikra Challenge. We actually have a weekly optional quiz in TABC for the Shnai Mikra. You know, I asked like 10 multiple choice questions and it's pretty cool how many kids in TABC are doing it now. And, you know, we make it fun and their incentives. We're actually tomorrow, in honor of finishing Sefer Bereishis, we're going to have some Duggies. And Rav Schechter actually gave a nice little, like, 30-second, like, a minute video pumping up a little bit. So that's very exciting. But we have to stop the recording just for a second to go all out right now and honor someone here. Hold on. You know, I'm not going to stop the recording. Jay Tepp, great to see you. Welcome to the
Nice to see you also, Rabbi.
Robert Ainsler, you have earned your weekly stipend for the Wednesday.
Yeah, I get like no homework for the next 2 weeks, right?
Recruiting Jay.
Yeah.
Okay, Jay, Robert was not allowed back this week unless you came.
Yeah. He came through for me, Jay.
And not only are you welcome
I didn't hear that Robert, part of it at all.
Yeah, Robert, you can stay.
I didn't want to put too much pressure on you.
No pressure.
A lot of people in here.
Yeah, all right. Okay, anyway, resuming our Talmud Torah experience, okay? Okay, so anyway, we think Shnai Mikra is great, bottom line. All right, moving forward. And Rav Schefter encouraged our own Talmidim TABC to do it. It was pretty cool. So let's learn the source, obviously. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says you actually have to do Shnai Mikra, even though there is an interesting hint to it in this week's Parsha Sefer, in Parsha Shmos. But there is an explicit Gemara, Maseches Brachos, on the bottom of Chesem and Aleph, going on to the top of Chesem and Beis, where Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Ami says, La'olam Yashlim Adam Parshiyosef Im Hatzibur. Always finish reading the Parsha with the Tzibur. Now I underline those words, Im Hatzibur, because that will be an integral point of focus of this evening's shir. And you have to learn the Parsha twice. And the Gemara explains even words that seemingly have no translation, like the names of locations. You have to do it on every single word. And what happens? What's the perk? So not only do you get Dougie's if you take the Shnai Mikra challenge in TABC, but the Gemara says Shekol Amashim Parshiyosef Im Hatzibur Ma'arichin Lo Yamav Ushnosav. You get a long life if you do Shnai Mikra. Now, on a Kabbalistic level, I'm sure there is what to discuss. I know the Chidah discusses why Dafke in the words of the Elish Shmos is there a hint to Shnai Mikra. There's some association with the of Mitzrayim and the Kedusha of Shnai Mikra, and I would imagine there's a reason why there is a Riches Yamim, but I don't know too much about those things. But bottom line is the Gemara promises you a long life if you complete Shnai Mikra. That's great. Now, the question is, next in the Gemara, when do you do it? So Rabbi Bar Abaye thought, what a good idea. I'll finish it on Erev Yom Kippur. You know, you want to get some extra points in before the Gemara din. But the Gemara responds, that's not a good idea because we know on Erev Yom Kippur, you should be busy eating. There's a mitzvah to eat. So therefore, what? Adam? Who says that? Yeah. Well, there, Tanya le'chia bar of difti. You know, the drasha of the inisim esafshur seichem betisha lechodesh ba'erev. The Torah phrases the mitzvah to eat on the ninth. Oh, so Rav Bibi bar Abaye thought to finish it by Yom Kippur. He was from Bava. That's interesting. Well, why do you say that, Adam? Oh, very good. We'll get to that. That's a fantastic point. So Adam points out, we know that in simple story, where he's saying, one day Yom Tov versus 2 days Yom Tov? Is that referring to?
No. They didn't have a
yearly cycle. Oh, the yearly cycle. Gemara Megillah. Very good. So Adam, So Adam made a very, very sharp point that if the Tzibur only finishes reading the whole Torah, let's say once every 3 years, then you'd have to only do that, right? I mean, the whole point is finishing the Torah cycle with the Tzibur. So nowadays, we finish the whole Torah every year. There's a yearly cycle, but right, very good. So Adam points out that it used to be different where in Eretz Yisrael specifically, they did not finish on some Torah. It's a very, very sharp point. But we know there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, so therefore he thought to do a different idea. So Sover l'akduminu. All right, so I'll do it earlier. I'll just, you know, chop in all of the parshios before Yom Kippur. Amar lehu saba. No. Tanina, there's a Mishnah uvelvat shelo yakdimu shelo ya'acher. Meaning what? Because Amar lehu Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi livnei. What did Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi say to his son? When should you finish Shnai Mikra? Im hatzibur Shnai Mikra ve'echad targum. Which means, if you were to think that it's a good idea, listen, I have an off winter break from TABC. I'm going to just cram Shnai Mikra for the rest of the year in that week, so I'll get the job done. Not so easy, right? The Gemara seems to be saying, no, you don't go ahead of the Tzibur. And I'm going to reiterate that point many times this evening because seemingly the Gemara is not just telling you that you as an individual have a chiv to know Chumash or Chumash Rashi. Rather, what emerges from this Gemara is that you as an individual have a chiv to connect to the community via the weekly parsha. And that is what emerges from the Lashon of the Gemara as it emphasizes this concept of being with the community. Let's learn it in the Rishonim, and I'm going to just point out how I'm going to specifically emphasize the need to connect to the Tzibur more than ever in this year, because so many people either can't go to shul because they are either at a health risk or they're not capable of davening with a minyan. And whereas we might have looked at this and asked ourselves, what's the big deal? Like, you just go to shul and you hear the laning, and maybe for the first time in our own lives do we realize how significant it is to stay connected to the Tzibur through the Shnayim Mikra. And specifically, I remember those days, you know, Pesach through the summer, you know, before we came back to shul, or it started in the backyard minyan, and we had a few stages, that it was the weekly parsha that was uniting us, even though we weren't doing it together. So let's have that in mind as we look at the classical Rishonim. We're going to learn the famous opinion of the Rav Yah after we learn the Rambam. The Rambam will represent the standard halacha, and then we'll learn the famous opinion of the Rav Yah, and we'll try to figure out how to respond to that. And then we'll try to end off with some, you know, practical halacha. So says the Rambam like this: Av apish adam shomea kol haTorah kula, b'chol Shabbos b'tzibur. Even if you go to shul and you hear the weekly laning, chayv likros la'atzmo b'chol shavu b'shavua, seder shel osha Shabbos shnai mikrav echad targum. So he's apologetic, right? Why is the Rambam apologetic? He says, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me there's no reason for shnai mikra. I go to shul and I hear the Baal Kore lane. Why in the blazes would I have to lane the parsha, or at least go over the parsha at home? It's repetitive. No, the Rambam's saying, even though you're going to think that you have to do that. And what about a pasuk that has no translation? Karu shalosh pamim. Should read it three times. Ancha yashim. Again, Parsha Yosef. What? Im hatzibur. Ding, 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 ding. Again, so the Rambam says there's an obligation to learn the weekly parsha with the tzibur. Again, we'll focus on the practical elements of this din at the end of this year. But who is the Rambam coming to disagree with? The Rav Yah is a little bit more famous than the Rav Van. The Rav Van is Baalei Tosfos. He lived in the 1000s and 1100s. He died in the 1100s. And he was a contemporary of Rabbeinu Tam. You know, so we're talking about one of the early Rishonim and a very well-respected Rishon. And one of the most famous shitos of the Rav Van is his opinion regarding Shnai Mikra. He says, nearly, it appears to me, this is in a tshuva of the Rav Van, Simon Peches, and it's quoted already in the Beis Yosef, and I think the Hagos Maimonides, but here is the original source. To be Yachid Hadar Bekrach Mairi. Ah, who has to do Shnai Mikra? If you live in the boondocks where there's no shul, or whatever, you're in Sahal, and you're not going to make it to shul that Shabbos, or if you're living in a global pandemic and there's no minyan, She'ein lo asara likros betorah. So in the case where there's no minyan laning, then she'tarach lachavin hasha'a she'kohen atzibur b'parsha b'beis ha'kinesis v'yikr gam hu b'yachid shnai mikra k'neged. All right, we'll get to that part. Okay, can everyone hear me? That was a little strange.
Now we can, yes, Rabbi.
Okay, that was a little strange. Okay, has anyone heard me until this point?
Nope, just froze again.
What? Okay, was there a point that you couldn't hear me before we just randomly logged out, or you heard me the whole time?
Maybe the shul didn't pay their internet bill.
All right. Okay, I seem to be connected to some degree. All right, you know. All right, let's try.
Trump insurrection.
Yeah.
Okay, I can hear you now, Bezos.
Keep freezing, Rabbi.
I keep freezing. Where is the internet cable? Make sure I move in the room.
At least you have a good pose.
True. It looks good, but don't hear me.
I mean, you're trying to move around a little bit, you know. Maybe I'll move. You have internet. Let me see if I move, if that helps. A little Hamish over here. Hold on. This is so strange. Okay, we're back. We're back live. You guys hear me?
Can't say that, Rabbi.
You can't hear me, Peter? Jay, you can't hear me? No? Uh-oh, some technical difficulties. Oh, no. How we doing, guys? Okay, I think we're better here. I think this spot's better. I don't know why, but I think it is. Adam, I'm not running away from you. I'm just trying to get better internet connection. Okay.
There he is.
Okay, I heard everything you guys said about me while you thought I was frozen. Anyway, all right. Hopefully that won't happen again, but it's all, we could just try our best with God's help. All right, everybody. Thank you for standing by despite our technical difficulties here. Anyway, so the Ravan, okay? Did you hear me when I started the Ravan about Kriyas HaTorah? Was that? All right, good. All right, so the Ravan has a big chiddush. He thinks that the whole point of Shnai Mikra is it's a substitute for Kriyas HaTorah, meaning if you're not exposed, if you don't have the privilege of going to shul, if you're not in an area where there's laning, so you should do it at home, basically. And he says that's why it's Shnai Mikra Be'echa Targum, because they used to be what? A Torgamon, and two, you can't read less than three psukim when you land, and it basically we're mimicking Kriyas HaTorah. And he points out that otherwise this makes no sense, meaning that Ravana has a somewhat compelling argument here, where he says, number one, like this, that if you really held like the Rambam, then like what we paskin, like that you have to read the Parsha at home, despite the fact that you're going to shul. So he says, Lema Lola Mikra Adam Parshas Peshat Mikra. So Im Hatzibur Lamali. Why would the Gemara emphasize this Im Hatzibur thing? Meaning, if you're going to shul, you're already with the Tzibur. You're here to create the Torah. So why would the Gemara need to specify, do it with the Tzibur? So argues the Ravan, do you know why the Gemara says to do it with the Tzibur? The whole idea is that you don't have the Tzibur, and you're trying to connect to the Tzibur, so you have to supplement for that by doing Shnai Mikra. But if you are with the Tzibur anyway, there's no point of Shnai Mikra. Wow. And then he says, and obviously, if you're going to shul, there's no need to do Shnai Mikra, because what's the point? Halo Yishmu Bebeis HaKnesses. You're going to hear laning in shul. So you mean to tell me that you're going to do Shnai Mikra and then go to shul just to hear the Parsha laying down loud? That's ridiculous. Wow. So, some of the frustration that people feel when doing Shnai Mikra nowadays, why is it so important? I'm going to hear laning anyway, whatever. So the rabbi actually felt like that lahalacha, but here is where people go wrong. One time, again, I've never resorted to violence in my rabbinical career, but someone once tried to say that they don't do Shnai Mikra because they paskin like the Ravan. Now, again, I didn't punch him. Hashem. Now, why is that not okay? Peter, you know why that's not okay? And this is the same reason why I bolded this. How does the Ravan conclude his tshuva? He says, even though I just told you why I think Shnai Mikra is not really necessary, but our minhag is the way to do it. Namely, we still paskin against me. So the Ravan, in his humility, said that you still have to do Shnai Mikra, even though I think our minhag of doing it and going to shul is wrong. But the minhag is to do Shnai Mikra and go to shul. So meaning, in addition to the weekly Torah laning, we also do Shnai Mikra. And then he says, you know why? Because sometimes the Baal Kore will not be prepared. And this way, if you do Shnai Mikra, you'll at least be a good backup. Oh, you did Shnai Mikra, so you're a little bit more prepared to do Shnai Mikra, to lane, to pinch hit if they need another Baal Kore. Now you'll ask me, what do you mean? When you do Shnai Mikra, you don't know the trup. But I'll tell you, one time this happened to me. So I don't do the trup. Some people do. I was right from Fox News was right. He is a highly recommended Shnai Mikra with the trup, Adam? Of course. Yeah, now I feel even worse. So it's certainly preferable to do with the trup. You don't need to. You're not. All right, I hear what you're saying. I do it with the
I don't think that's what it means, Rabbi.
What do you think it means, Adam? Maybe.
I think what it means is the Baal Kore may say the wording correctly. So if you said it correctly, at least you were able that you were
right. I was corrected by Rabbi Weintraub. You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. I misread it. Rabbi Weintraub, also a highly religious man, even though he wasn't on the news, he says like this, that dezimnim delomatzi mechavein dayiti b'beis ha-knesset. Oh, it means you're going to space out during shul. Meaning you're not going to pay attention to laning. Now, again, Peter, we're not talking about people on your madrega, but people, like me, who sometimes space out during laning, they're going to say, oh, gosh, I missed the laning. No, it's okay, because at least you did it beforehand. So AB's right that you're going to be more prepared to correct the Baal Kore. I'm also right that you'll be better prepared to substitute for the Baal Kore. But what does the Ravan actually say? That if you don't pay attention to the Baal Kore, at least you will have already fulfilled your obligation by doing Shnai Mikra in advance. Okay, now that's a beautiful Ravan for a few reasons. It's cool lumdus and to why we do Shnai Mikra. Is it more associated with the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah? It's also cool that he concludes La Halacha against his own Shita, which is very nice to see. But anyone who tells you that we don't need to do Shnei Mikra because you could passing like that Ra'avan, your response needs to be, no, the Ra'avan himself didn't passing like the Ra'avan. So that's why it's always important to look things up inside, because people like to quote the Ra'avan as it sounded. Yeah, sorry, Rabbi Weintraub, you have the
floor. Ra'avan is in a perfect world. In a perfect world where you hear everything the Baal Kriya says, then the Rabban is right. But the Rabban says, we do not live in a perfect world. That's why.
That's beautiful. I like that analysis. That's true. Right. Meaning, AB's pointing out that technically speaking, you shouldn't need to do Shnayim Mikra. But let's be real here. Shabbos morning, you know, you're usually so excited for Rabbi Mandelstam's Halacha Shir after Minyan that you can't wait. And you're just pumped up. By the way, Rabbi Yudin's going to be giving Shir this Shabbos. I'm going to be down with the team Minyan this Shabbos. And if anyone wants to mooch hot Kiddush to go, which won't be hot, by the way, you could speak to me privately. And if anyone wants to sponsor that Kiddush, we could also speak privately. Okay, moving forward. So let's really try to bring this home, that we know that we're living in a global pandemic, and it's so important for people to feel connected to the community. You know, we haven't seen certain individuals of our community for months now, and we do try to make them connected. We still Zoom them in to our weekday minyanim, and we give them phone calls, and we try to reach out. But says the Sefer HaChinuch in his introduction, the Sefer HaChinuch has a few things that are part of the Sefer HaChinuch that are not the formal part of the Sefer HaChinuch. And he speaks to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah that, you know, obviously he says that we need to learn the Torah so that we know how to practice Judaism. That goes without saying. And he says, specifically, we lay in the Torah to teach people what to do, what not to do. You know, if you read the Torah in shul, so you're going to be educating the masses about what to do or what not to do. And then he says, "Va'od chayivenu chachmanu zichron levracha likurosa kol echad ve'echad miYisrael bebeisu b'chol shavu v'shavu." And everyone's also obligated to read the parsha in their own homes, right? Aishnai mikra ve'chatayim. Now he's clearly passing like the Rambam, not like the Ravan, right? That in addition to hearing it in shul, you also should do it at home. But why? Why would you repeat it? But la'olam yashav adam parshiyos even matzibor, according to the Gemara, kidei. Here's the Sefer HaChinuch's addition. If you hear it in shul, so come on, if I test you on the weekly parsha right after Kriyas HaTorah, who's going to get 100, right? But if you hear it in shul and you also do Shnayim Mikra, so you'll know it much better. So on a very practical level, Sefer HaChinuch says, you know, learning something more than one time will produce some more knowledgeable students. So if you learn the parsha in addition to hearing Kriyas HaTorah, so that will work out for your Torah knowledge. And it's almost like, I remember when I heard, Baruch Shem Zohar to learn a lot about Shnayim Mikra over the years, or Aryeh Leibowitz once pointed out that this is the only place seemingly where the Torah gives you a curriculum of how to learn something. You know, the Torah wants you to learn Shnayim Mikra in a very specific way. You know, there are many ways to learn, you know, Gemara, but here the Torah dictates, like, we want you to chazer the Parsha. So it's almost like the Halacha is requiring you to go over the Parsha more than once so you know it better, which is a fascinating thing. Okay, now the Trumas Hadeshen, you know, we know one of the Rishonim that's often quoted the Halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. So it's a very, very similar line that I just wanted to kind of draw one point of it, is that the idea is that you should finish it with the Tzibur, namely, the end point and the beginning point is also. So when should you finish Shnayim Mikra by? He quotes a Rabbeinu Simcha who says that you should finish it with the Tzibur, and that's why the Sefer Trumas Hadeshen says you should read a Kol HaTorah Me Rosh V'ad Sof B'chol Shana K'mosh Osin Ad Tzibur Mishu Hachi Tzarek L'Sai Mamish Ba'oso Hayom Shesimen Bo B'Tzibur De'af Al Pishal O'Kara Kol the Ashana Yimayin Ella Acher Gemar Mitzvah Nazinim Bekula Duchta. So even if you, let's say, miss the beginning and you have to catch up, at least you should complete it when Bishmini Atzeres. So here, the Trumas Hadeshen quotes this Rebbeinu Simcha that says you should really finish the parsha by Shmini Atzeres, which we have Simcha story. We have a 2-day Yom Tov, and I think between all the sources we've seen, the halacha is like begging you to connect to the Tzibur. The most extreme version, the Ra'avan was saying, please connect to the Tzibur because you are not connected to the Tzibur. You don't have a minyan to go to, so try at least to stay connected. And the other Rishonim are saying, even if you go to shul, there needs to be a part of your own personal life where you're going out of your way to connect to the tzibur. Almost like the halacha is telling you, it's not enough to go to shul and be passive. You need to be an active member. You need to be an active participant with the parsha. Okay, so you're not going to lane in shul every week. That's obvious. You know, we only have so many gifted Balei Kriya. But the halacha wants you to not rely on the fact that everyone else is laning, and you should connect to the tzibur actively. It's almost like you pay your dues, you pay your fee for shul. So halacha wants you to lane the parsha, to read the parsha in your own living room, your own dining room table, just because you should connect to the tzibur. The tzibur can't connect to you without you connecting to the tzibur. And that, I think, is what we're struggling with right now in the broader community, of where the tzibur misses those individuals who are not necessarily, you know, putting in their shnai and mikra, so to speak. Again, I don't mean that literally. And again, I'm not speaking negatively, chas v'shalom, against any individuals. I'm certainly not judging anybody. But I think the time we're living in is so sensitive because the tzibur is limited right now. And now we're basically screaming out, the tzibur is here and we need you to connect to the tzibur. Obviously, if that's a health risk, you don't risk your life for that. But you could do it in whatever way you can. So if it means you go to some car minyan, like, you know, we've been trying to pull all these different minyanim, and, you know, Peter Weissman Shlita, you know, has been davening outside in the you know, whatever degrees, you know, and that's why Peter goes down in the Shomrei Torah Hall of Fame. We're going to retire his talis number, you know. Bezros Hashem, you know, Peter, pick a number. And if anyone shows up to shul this Shabbos with a number on the back of the talis, that would be cool. And also weird. It was, I don't know, Peter, I dare you. A little friendly dare, Peter, to put a number on the back of your talis. But I think you understand that I think the message that emerges from the halacha, that in the same way that we go out of our way to connect to the tzibur financially or whatever it may be, so Shani Mikra begs of us the same thing. Now, let's just pause from the Mar Makomos. We should be doing, again, now women, technically speaking, I think are exempt because generally speaking, it's a subset of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So I don't think women are formally obligated. They're certainly allowed to do Shani Mikra and they're encouraged to know the Parsha with Rashi, whatever. But every man should at least feel some connection to the weekly Parsha. So I'll tell you about my own little spiritual journey with Shnai Mikra. I was Zocha to go to the high school known as DRS in Woodmere, led by Rabbi Shaul Kamenetsky Shlita. And I started doing Shnai Mikra, towards the end of high school. What was my targum? I would read the Parsha with English, Art Scrolls English. And I got to know like what the Chumash was talking about. I remember one episode, I was doing Shnai Mikra on a Thursday night in the DRS based Midrash. And I was reading the English as my targum. I would read the psukim with English. And I said to one of the DRS Rebbeim who's still there, Rabbi Huda Balzim, I said to him, like, Rabbi, what was the Mizbeach? Looks at me and he says, what do you mean? It's the altar pyre. And he was joking because, you know, the article translation is altar pyre. And he basically was giving me a pat on the back. Like, no kidding. Like, don't be embarrassed. Like, as if we know what Chumash is talking about. Like, you shouldn't be ashamed. You know, here you are trying to learn what the Torah is talking about. And like, what was the Mizbeach? It's like a fair question. Like, I don't know, you need a picture, you need more information. Because the two words altar pyre won't tell you all that much. I remember that story years later, you know, him making me feel better at asking like a very elementary question. So, you need like a starting point. And at a minimum, I encourage my own Talmidim to start with English. Before Rashi, it shouldn't take that long. You learn every pasuk two times, and you read the English, you know, at least you have a basic sense of what the Torah is talking about. Art Scroll is certainly based on Chazal, and it's a very, very respected Torah Shebaal Peh based English translation. That being said, obviously, to know Chumash Rashi is like, you know, we're talking about some very important, significant Torah sources. Rav Mordechai Willig Shlita once said that Chumash Rashi is the lifeblood of our people. And Rav Schechter, in a one-on-one Zoom I had with him today for the sake of the TABC Shnai Mikra Challenge, which will be broadcast to the TABC community, he said that Chumash Rashi is the springboard for all of Torah Shebaal Peh. That when you learn how, you know, all of the Midrashim and the Maimari Chazal that Rashi quotes, it's going to just open you up to so much more Torah Shebaal Peh. Like, you know, So it's so certainly recommended, but everyone needs to know their own limitations and their own tolerance. And let's just learn a little bit of the halacha just to get a flavor for what's really required of us. Adam, what? So I personally, so Adam asked just now, what about learning Targum, namely Targum Unklus? So that's what I do. I learn every pasuk two times before Shabbos with Targum Unklus. And I usually try to do Mefarshim, certainly Rashi. And I will give the Stone Chumash a very significant shout out. Generally, these people associate the Stone Chumash is like the cliche blue Chumash in Shul. The footnotes in the Stone Chumash are not only good, they are phenomenal. And over, dare I say, close to 10 years now, I not every footnote, I try to look up all of those Makoros inside. The Sfornos, the Orachayims, they quote Rav Soloveitchik a lot. The Kliyakars of Hershes, there's so much, I would say, just awesome Torah, Parshanut, Abbas Torah, so to speak, that that they quote that I've looked up inside since. And I also once asked my Rebbe Morenu Rav Meir Tursky Shlita, how much time should one allot to the study of Shai Mikra? I forget which Gadol, unfortunately, he quoted, but he said that Gadol wouldn't open up a Gemara on Shabbos. He devoted his entire Limud on Shabbos to the Parsha. And I don't not open up a Gemara, but it's basically what I do myself. You learn the Chumash during the week, then my own private learning. So on Shabbos, I really try to give attention to Chumash Mepharshim. Again, I could also learn Torah Tumima and learn up. I usually end up opening a Gemara, a Rambam, and I teach Baruch Hashem Hilchos Shabbos on Shabbos. I'm not saying I don't open up other Sfarim, but I try to emphasize the limud of the Parsha. All right, so what does the Shulchan Aruch actually say? That Rashi number one counts, but Yirei Shamayim should do both Unkelus and Rashi, because Unkelus is really a Targum. But many poskim would argue and say nowadays, since someone understands Unkelus, Rashi is better. What's the raya? My colleague Ben Krinsky, Rabbi Ben Krinsky, pointed out, what's the most ironic thing in history? That what did Art School just come out with? An English translation of Unkelus. Right? How ironic is that? That Unkelus, its whole chop was that it was a Aramaic translation of the Torah, because people understood Aramaic. Right. So myself, Adam, Rav Tursky, all are advocates for Targum, because that's the way you'll learn Aramaic. But, the Art Scroll, they know that no one really knows Aramaic, and therefore, if you study it with English, you'll at least appreciate what Unklus is trying to do there. Okay, when can you start? Remember, the whole idea is to stay connected to the Tzibur, so therefore, it starts when you lay in the Parsha and Mincha. The Shulchan Aruch says you could start on Sunday, but Mishnah Berurah already points out, and the Shabbos afternoon, because at Mincha, we already start next week's Parsha. Ideally, you should finish it before you eat the Shabbos day meal. And B'dievid, you can finish it already till Wednesday. In the same way, you can make Avdala right till Tuesday. You could do Shai Mikra till Tuesday. But what's the final deadline? As we already learned, until Simchas Torah. And it should be noted, there is a serious heter in the Shulchan Aruch to read the Shai Mikra during laning, which a lot of people do. A lot of people, they will do one Kriya at home, their second Kriya during Kriya Sator. Now, the Mishnah Berurah points out that many were against that because you should be listening to laning during the laning. But he points out if you do it quietly, if you're not disrupting the laning, if you're able to use your ear to hear the Kriya Sator and you use your whispering voice or, your indoor volume to also do Shnai Mikra, that's not a problem. Again, there are different strokes for even different folks who do Shnai Mikra. But again, as Rav Willig taught us, the details are less significant. The main thing is to do Shnai Mikra. And again, if you do a little bit every day, that's also quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, and the idea is to stay connected to the Tzibur. And I know at least, I've always felt very connected to the Tzibur through Shnai Mikra. And at this point now is the time, if anyone has any questions, anything like that, looks like our internet has seen better days. I only see black screens. So I guess we're good. Adam, me and you, my friend. All right, so I guess I'll stop the recording at a minimum. If anyone wants to stay on for questions, though, stay on. Have a wonderful evening.